Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ Online. We meet together again on Facebook Live. Thank you for joining us. Those of you who are near, just living in our neighborhood, living across the city, in other cities, maybe even in other countries, we're glad that you're here. If you're watching in real time, thanks for being here. Now's a great time to check in. Let us know who is watching with you, please. Even if you watch this at a later time, you can go ahead and comment. And that will let us know that that you and whomever you're with are watching as well. My name is Steve Sargent, and I get to be the minister of this wonderful congregation, this community that strives to love and serve one another and our neighborhood, even though we are absent physically from one another. This morning, we gather online for a time of simple worship, experiencing the presence of God in song and in word and in readings. Andrea is back here today, ready to bless us with a couple of songs, one that you know very well, one that you may not know very well at all or anything about it, and that's okay. Just sing louder. That'll be just fine. Chelsea will read our psalm in a moment. Our favorite candle lighter will light our weekly candle. Week 19, by the way, candle number 19. In a little bit, I'll preach from Acts chapter 8. And now is a great time to remind you to get some bread, your cup, whatever you have available is just fine. So bring your full self, bring your heart, bring your mind, bring your hands, bring your joys and your worries and your hopes all up to the surface. Offer them to God today, trusting that our God is able.
Good morning, church. This morning, our reading from Psalms is coming from Psalm 139, 1 through 10. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. You can never go away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Amen.
Good morning, church. So good to be with you again. Even though it's virtually, I long for the days when we get to be back together and I can hear the chorus of all of our voices blending together. On the second song today, it's by a group called Zoe Group, and it's called Cornerstone. So I hope you'll enjoy it. The verses you will recognize. But the refrain is new. If you have the sheet music and you're looking at it, we're going to skip the first verse. It says the first verse two times. So we're just going to sing it once. And at the end, it has the refrain two times. So we're just going to do it once. We're not going to do the repeat.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. What a great song and what a great truth. For a minute or so, I want to give you time where you're at, just to spend the moment in silence and internal prayer. It could be out loud if you would choose to, but let's do that now for about a minute or so, and then I'll come up here and talk about our children's bulletin for the morning. All right, thank you. For our young friends, those of you who are in Roots, our elementary age students, we're so glad that you join in every single week to be a part of the service. You should have a Lee's bulletin that looks something like this. There are some great questions and activities on it. Today we're going to be talking about teachers during my sermon, and there's a spot where you can talk about teachers also. And we're also going to be talking about a man from Africa. One of our songs that we sing often here at our congregation is an African hymn that's called Yesu, Yesu. Fill Us With Your Love, and the lyrics to that song are at the bottom of your sheet. I hope that you remember that one. Let's pray together, and then I'll continue. Oh God, by your Spirit, would you pour forth through me the gift of preaching, that your truth and your grace might be seen and heard again. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. After Stephen's body is left in the rock quarry, persecution against the church breaks out in earnest in Jerusalem. Angry men with agendas go from house to house without legal warrants, rooting out the thousands who by now make up the church. They drag families out from their beds in the middle of the night and haul them off to prison. It's a massive shift for the emerging church because one day the Spirit of God speaks in a dozen languages and people are all sharing their possessions and apostles are all doing miracles and just listen to that preaching. The next day, it all literally comes crashing down upon their heads, and the Jesus uprising will be put down once and for all. The Jews, who had come to recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises, scatter. They flee to the countryside and escape the city. Little did the church know then, however, that their scattering would be like the tossing of faith seeds upon the wind, blowing and dispersing the name and love of Jesus to far-flung areas. Those refugees who took root elsewhere would produce a harvest that no one could have expected. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the one that by grace changes people from the inside out or the outside in, begins to spread to unlikely people in unlikely places. Good-for-nothing Samaritans get baptized in chapter 8. A fire-breathing enemy becomes a baptized brother in chapter 9. And in chapter 10, those sin-filled Gentiles who take your land and fill your head with conspiracy theories are baptized. Our text today falls squarely in the unlikely category, the end of Acts chapter 8, if you want to follow along. It's a story about a man named Philip and a eunuch from Ethiopia. Philip is a Jewish man who loves Jesus. In chapter 6, he's picked to partner with Stephen in the food distribution program, what we talked about last week. When persecution arises in Jerusalem against the church, it's Philip who successfully preaches and baptizes among the Samaritans. Later in Acts, we discover that Philip has four daughters, each of whom are considered prophets in the Jesus community. Philip is the kind of guy you want in your church, proud to have him represent your congregation from up front. Competent, hardworking, effective, a good father. The other person showing up in our text this morning is the nameless one, described instead in terms of nationality and sexuality. He is an Ethiopian, which in Luke's world referred to anyone who is black and living south of Egypt. And he is a eunuch, meaning that he's been castrated. What that did to his gender identity or lack thereof is anybody's guess. But to his employers, he's viewed as harmless enough to work among the women in a royal palace. No distractions here. It's a good thing, too, because he serves as the queen's personal accountant. It's a powerful job that affords him enough vacation days to travel and enough wealth to ride in a chariot. He's educated, able to read. He's earnest about his faith, studying the book of Isaiah as he goes along. He's unpretentious, not hesitant to ask for help when he does not understand. As far as his religion goes, it's unclear how to categorize him. We're told he's heading back to Africa after worshiping in Jerusalem. Is he a Jewish convert? Is he a Gentile but drawn to Israel's God? Is he, like much of his existence, caught somewhere in between, an outsider to the faith he longs for? Whatever the case, we do know that he is not allowed in the temple. The law in Deuteronomy forbids access to the assembly to anyone who's been mutilated as he has. The eunuch is also the kind of person you want in your church. The story goes that the Ethiopian invites Philip on board his chariot to illuminate what in the world the prophet Isaiah is talking about. Philip starts with those verses to tell the good news of Jesus. Afterwards, when the eunuch sees some water, he stops the chariot and asks, "Any reason why I can't get baptized?" And since Philip can't think of one that matters anymore, down to the water they go, the Jewish man baptizing the black man, and Philip is swept up by the Spirit and planted elsewhere, and the Ethiopian eunuch returns home rejoicing all the way. What a powerful story that is. So we ask ourselves, what is the good news of Jesus in this instance? Here's one possibility. The text the eunuch was reading from is Isaiah 53, about sheep butchered, lambs sheared, humiliation from lack of justice, and descendants who will never come. It's not hard to see why the eunuch landed on these verses. He too had been forcefully shorn and neutered. He's been humiliated with no justice. His ability to have offspring was eliminated before he ever had a chance. It would not surprise me to learn someday that Philip, from that suffering servant passage in Isaiah 53, unrolled the scroll a bit more down to chapter 56, where it says this: "Let no foreigners who have bound themselves to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people.' And let no eunuch complain, 'I am only a dry tree,' for this is what the Lord says: To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever." According to Philip, Jesus too was crushed and rejected, placing himself squarely with those on the outside looking in, embracing those everyone thought was not worthy of embrace. For the foreigner, for the eunuch, this is good news. What has been severely damaged is made whole in Jesus, is welcomed by God. For Philip, a deeply religious man who is experiencing before him firsthand the broad wings of God's inclusion, this is good news too. A story I return to often is one that happened 10 or so years ago. You may have heard me tell this before. I'm sitting in my office and Steve Sandifer is sitting in his. The doorbell rings and someone's at the front door looking for a minister. I walk to the front and it's two someones, a man and a woman. "How can I help you?" I ask. The first thing out of the man's mouth is, "I want to be baptized." I had heard many, many requests from folks who've asked to see me, but this was a first for me, and still the only one. I've got 20 things running through my mind. I don't know you. I don't know who this woman is. I don't know what your story is. I don't know where you live. I don't know what you think of Jesus. I don't know your belief systems. I don't know if you really know what baptism is. And I don't know if you're someone just trying to scam me because you're needing some money. And I have to know these things if I'm going to baptize you, right? We talk for a few minutes, me asking them about their life and where they're from, do they have a church home, and so forth. And to be honest, I don't remember much of what they said, but I do remember fumbling with my words because I did not know what to do. Finally, I ask, tell me why you want to get baptized. And all the man said is this, because I need Jesus in my life. What do you do in a situation like this? You baptize him because you realize that salvation comes from God and not from you. I could no longer be a hindrance to this man, which is exactly what I was being. Okay, let's do it, I said. I get Steve to come with me, and the four of us walk over here to this main building. The man and I go upstairs to get ready while Steve and the woman stand just at the base of the baptistry here in the auditorium. Then he and I wade into the frigid water that is supposed to be warm, and his yellowing white t-shirt cling wraps to him as the water splashes past his waist. It's at this moment I grasp the painfully obvious. This man is literally twice my size. How in the world am I going to baptize him? With panic in my eyes, I look to Steve for any help, and he just kind of grins and shrugs his shoulders. With my baptismal magic words left in my office where they belong, I simply ask him if he wants to follow Jesus. I do, he says, as if it's his wedding day. Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, raised to new life, a life unlike any other. I lay him under the water, and the strength of God helps me pick him back up. He suffocates me in a bear hug of great joy, and then Jesus plants one on the man's cheeks, sealing the marriage with a kiss. When he and the woman left our building, he disappeared like Philip, and I have not seen him since. For all I know, he could be living in this area, raising a few daughters to love Jesus. Or maybe he's like the eunuch, which tradition tells us he went back home and became a full-time evangelist. The truth is, all of our baptisms are audacious. Samaritans, Gentiles, Ethiopians, eunuchs, mine, yours, the man who randomly showed up at my door. None of us, by our heritage or nationality or bootstraps, can claim ownerships of the seats to Jesus' left and right. It's God's pursuant grace through the cross that first came near to us and that leads us to the water's edge. It's the way of Jesus that is changing us from the outside in or the inside out. If we can remember that, then maybe we can also remember that the main character in the story today is not Philip or the Ethiopian, but the Spirit of God, the one who roams and searches and stirs up a people fit for a kingdom. The Spirit leaves no mountain unclimbed, no valley unsearched, no megacity unturned to include ill-suited eunuchs into the community of God, to ask them to imagine that they too are welcome. Some of you, like our Ethiopian friend, are recipients of that embrace. If our text today can be trusted, that means that God's Spirit is still rattling bones to life on deserted roads and on street corners in Minnesota and in virus testing lines here in Houston. How all this will affect the present future of the church, I have no clue. What I hope I know is that God's Spirit is still sending Philips out and drawing eunuchs in, even as our own church is still scattered. I believe, church, that God's Spirit has more for us, purposefully guiding us into what it means to be a faith community, which may or may not look what many of us are accustomed to. To me, it reinforces that we are not a finished product, but a people on the way in Christ Jesus our Lord. That journey requires great trust in God and an even greater hope. As we go, may we rejoice at the good news of Jesus, who welcomes us and changes us and sends us forth with love. And together, church, we say aloud, or we type, Amen. If you've been following us over the last month and a half or so, you know that we've been praying our way through Acts, just like Acts itself does. You have been writing these prayers, and then I get to share them. This week, our friend Rosalinda Montez has written a beautiful prayer. She is one of our Rockstar Reach to Teach mentors who lives here in our neighborhood and is a part of our gathering virtually every single Sunday. If you don't yet know Rosalinda, you must, because she is awesome. So send her a Facebook note and thank her for this prayer I'm about to read. Chelsea posted it just a moment ago, right before these dozens of amens keep scrolling across the screen in front of me. You're welcome to look back up and follow along if you'd like. So here is Rosalinda's prayer. Dear God, believe me, this is my first time writing to you, but I am doing it with all my heart. Dear God, I know we all come to you in the tough times because we have trust in you. With all the love you have for all of us, you are the only one that can help us. Please, God, is it too much to ask you to please stop all this suffering, hunger, and crime all over the world, and especially this pandemic? Help us all have peace and love. Please help us to be better persons in life so we can show our children love and not hate. I know we all sin one way or another. Please forgive us, God. We are not perfect. The only perfect one is you. Please help us be better persons so we can continue with our life. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, Rosalinda. For the rest of us, let this prayer carry us into a time at the table. You have some bread, hopefully, a cup, hopefully, with some wine or juice, water, that is fine too. We get to eat and drink with one another in the name of Jesus. What a gift we get to do, even though we're apart. So let's take a few moments. Let's do that together right now. Thank you.
So open up heaven, open it wide, over your church and over our lives. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide, over your church and over our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. O Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word.
Well, now is the time to remind you that, yes, indeed, we have been given. We've been given the bread and the cup, Jesus himself, his body and blood. And so we also give. We give to each other. One way you can do that is by giving your tithes and your offerings to the church, the congregation, for the continuance of the work that goes on here. So you can do that online. You can also mail in your checks, your cash to the office, and we'll take care of it that way. You can give it to me directly, and I'll take care of it too. Well, some of you may have heard that our dear friend Amber Bonner Mackey passed away yesterday after a long battle with lupus. We grieve with her family at this time. You may remember just 2 weeks ago, she joined us on Facebook Live and made a few comments, asked us to pray for her, and so we did as a congregation. You prayed for her. And you have joined her in her journey well, not only these last couple years, but since her childhood, her time in the youth group of this congregation. So we grieve. We pray God's peace and God's spirit upon them. And please remember Amber's family this week, please. As we go forth from here today, here's a Celtic blessing that not only relates to our sermon from today, our time in Acts chapter 8, but also a prayer over Amber, over Amber's family, people that know and love her. So hear this benediction as we go forth from here. May the peace of Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. The peace of God go with you. Have a great week. Thank you.